Now, one of the very interesting things was that as enough of these studies were done, we began to find specific numbers of how many people it takes to initiate change in a population or a community or a family based on this kind of information. Before I go into the statistics, I'm going to be very clear. This isn't a wish machine. It's not about saying, we'd like to make this happen in our city, so if we get enough people together, we'll make this happen. It's not about imposing change or our idea of what should be in the outer world. This is about a certain number of people massing together, feeling peace in their hearts, and opening the door for whatever possibilities ensue. They're not saying, we are making this happen. They're saying, we are choosing from the many, many, many already existing possibilities in our world. As we become peace in our bodies, then we expect that overlay of peace to come into our world. And within peace, all things are possible. Well, what researchers have found, and they have a specific number for this, the studies show that the first signs of these techniques are noticed when the number of people is greater than the square root of 1% of the population. And what that number means, just to give you some perspective, some idea, in a city of 1 million people, for example, the square root of 1% of that population is only 100 individuals. In a world where our census says there may be as many as 6 billion people living right now, that number is only 8,000 people. 8,000 in a world population of 6 billion. What it says is that whenever we see an event unfolding in our world of human suffering and mass tragedy and atrocity, first it says that event is a mirror of consciousness from within. Maybe not ours individually, ours collectively. It also says, number two, and Isaiah reminds us of this so clearly, that we have within us this power to change what's happening within, and we may expect to see that change mirrored in the world around us. As we become peace from within, then the atrocity simply cannot happen in the presence of that kind of peace. As we witness the unfolding of many events in our world, our own scientists now are telling us of ecological breakdowns in the ozone, in the temperature layers of the atmosphere and the water. Life scientists now are talking to us about new viruses, new diseases, some that we've never seen before, some that we thought were cured and are coming back with a vengeance. What we now know, what the Essenes so eloquently remind us of, and what Isaiah in his words actually show us how to do, is that if we want to change the conditions of war, oppression, and mass suffering in our world on the outside, we are invited to change the way we see ourselves in each moment of each day. Now, many people have said to me, again, this is too simple. I'm only one person. How much difference could I make? What we know is this, is that our collective response to any moment in history is nothing more than the individual choices we make in each moment of each day. As we drive our cars down the freeway and we choose to let someone into traffic who just came from that metered ramp, even though they may not have the best driving manners. As we go through the checkout lines of the Safeway or the Albertsons, and our patience is tested in the presence of our family and loved ones at dinner time or in the workplace. Each of the little challenges that seem so mundane and insignificant in our daily lives are actually the keys. They're the very foundation of what becomes our collective answer to any moment in history. They are the basis for our call to the possibility that comes into our world. So from that perspective, what could be more significant than each of these little experiences that we have in each of our days? And we're invited to know how significant, how key our lives are.